Hear this scripture from Psalm 91, verses 1 through 6 and 14 through 16, as translated by Nancy Merrill. Those who dwell in the shelter of infinite light, who abide in the wings of infinite love, will raise their voices in praise. My refuge and my strength, in you alone will I trust. For you deliver me from the webs of fear and delusion, from all that separates and divides. You protect me as an eagle shields its young. Your faithfulness is sure like an arrow set upon the mark. I will not fear the shadows of the night, nor the confusion that comes by day, nor the dreams that awaken me from sleep, nor the daily changes that life brings. Because you cleave to me in love, I will deliver you. I will protect you who call upon my name. When you call to me, I will answer you. I will be with you in times of trouble. I will rescue you so that you will know my peace. All through the years will I dwell in your heart as loving companion presence forever. Our gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus returned from the Jordan River full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. There he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and afterwards Jesus was starving. The devil said to him, "Since you are God's child, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus replied, "It is written, people won't live only by bread." Next, the devil led him to a high place and showed him in a single instant all the kingdoms of the world. The devil said, "I will give you this whole domain and the glory of all these kingdoms. It's been entrusted to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. Therefore, if you will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, you will worship your creator, your God, and serve only God." The devil brought him into Jerusalem and stood him at the highest point of the temple and said to him, "Since you are God's child, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, God will command the angels concerning you to protect you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone." Jesus answered, "It's been said, don't test your God." After finishing every temptation, the devil departed from him until the next opportunity. Picture the story of Jesus in a showdown with the devil without also thinking of one of my most embarrassing memories from when I was in sixth grade music class. We were given the assignment to pick a song to lip sync to and perform in front of the entire grade. We were encouraged to get into groups based on our song choice, so while my classmates were picking something from a popular boy band or pop star diva, I had said in my mind that I wanted to perform the 1970s country classic Devil Went Down to Georgia by Charlie Daniels. Does anybody know that song? Okay, good. Those of you who don't know it, I'll play a little bit of it in just a second.
Now, if you've never heard of this song, let me tell you, it's best suited for a duet. But it was no surprise that I ended up performing this as a solo act. No one from my age group knew this song or thought it would be fun to perform a musical number about a heavenly fiddle duel between the devil and a cowboy. But I was committed and obsessed with this song, so much so that when it did come time for me to perform, I played both characters very well. I painted half my face with red on one side, with a devil horn on one side, and half my body wearing a devil costume on one side, and on the other half of me, a handlebar mustache, half of a cowboy hat, jeans and chaps and boots, of course. And when each character would speak, I would flip around on each side like this so that the audience could see me doing this duel between myself. Now, I'm going to play the first part of this song just to give you the full picture of what sixth grade me had to commit to make this song the best. But also, I want to let you know, I had a fiddle that I was painted black on one side and white on the other, and I'd have to like flip it over. So not just the songs and the lyrics were amazing, but like the whole choreography was awesome. So little picture. Here we go. Never heard of this song, it will be a treat.
Across this young man, someone on the fiddle and playing it hot. And the devil jumped up on the hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I've been a fiddle of gold against your soul, so think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet, you're gonna regret, because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, your eyes up, your bow and play your fiddle hard. Cause hell broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals a card. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold. But if you lose, the devil gets your soul."
That will be in your head for the rest of the day. Can you all picture it? Can you picture me playing both characters, the devil and Johnny? I really had to commit to that song. I got a participation award for my performance, as you can imagine. This morning, the devil does not go down to Georgia, but he is waiting in the desert to have a showdown with Jesus. And to tell you the truth, Jesus makes this look pretty easy. He's been on this 40-day silent retreat in the desert that seems like only the superhuman could survive, pushing the limits of the body and spirit. No food or water, no shelter from the elements, no community of support to stave off the loneliness. Other than being hungry, the Gospel of Luke doesn't show any kind of struggle for Jesus. He seems like he's got it all together, and he's got this in the bag, and he's that as they come one by one, the devil's temptations seem so easy to turn down. To give some credit here, the story is told with an assumption that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is both human and divine in some formula, leaving us to wonder how we who are only fully human would fare in a temptation test with a devil such as this. As Barbara Brown Taylor puts it, when it's our turn, none of us is going to get the Son of God test. We're going to get the regular old Adam and Eve test, which means that the devil won't need much more than an all-you-can-eat buffet and a tax refund to turn your head. And to tell you the truth, I think this story is told with some assumptions about the character of the devil as well. Christianity has painted the character as this villain waiting in the shadows until we are at our most vulnerable to enact our spiritual demise. And that there's this spiritual battle going on of the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other, and that on our best days we can resist the one tempting us. And on our most frail days we give in to that temptation. Yes, that's one way to make sense of our hunger for power, our fear of vulnerability, our actions that we take that harm ourselves and others. That life is one big test, a set of hoops to jump through, and Jesus is our example to resist the temptations that ensnare us. I don't think this story is about a Son of God test for anyone, not even Jesus. The story is instead about what's found in that wilderness. It's about finding yourself on life's wild and treacherous terrain and grasping for that which soothes away the fear. It's about those moments on the journey of life that convince you that you aren't enough. It's about coming into contact with your own human vulnerability and frailty and being tempted to run as far away from it as you possibly can. This is not a story about temptation. It's a story about the wilderness of life we all find ourselves in and the wildness that God shows up to be with us in. This story isn't about those temptation moments, but wilderness moments. Wilderness moments come custom fit to each one of us, and they often immobilize our spirits with shock and surprise. There's no navigating system to let us know of a wilderness moment ahead, no warning of where your spirit will be strained. Maybe for you that moment looked like a hospital room where you received a diagnosis. Maybe yours came by way of a cleaned out desk in an empty office the day you lost your job. Maybe it came by way of a pandemic, being isolated from community and those whom you love and need to be around you. Maybe you found it within your own home, living with a spouse you barely know anymore. Maybe it's that inner voice that tells you everything you fear when the world around you sees you are as strong and brave and tough, and you believe you are not. Maybe the wilderness for you is not a place at all, but you know of its presence there in the depths of your soul when your spirit steps into it. Needless to say, this is not a situation many of us seek out or feel led to willingly to go into. Most of us, in fact, spend a lot of time and money and therapy trying to stay out of these wilderness moments. We do our best to put up the front and fake that we aren't terribly lost. We work really hard to hide those places where our spirits are breaking and our souls are running on empty. We push ourselves to put up the facade that we've got it all together, that there's nothing weak about us, that we don't need anything or anyone to help us find our way. But eventually, no matter how hard we try, each one of us will find ourselves in the wild at some point, questioning who we really are and what our lives are really about. And we may even hear the voice of not a devil dressed in red, but that voice within, that adversarial voice, that voice that allows us to doubt our worth, that tempts us with a distorted version of who we hope to be, that convinces us of a false identity of who God embeds into our very being. And while maybe not at first glance, this was also even true for Jesus. This moment in the wilderness was probably the most vulnerable and human moment Jesus would have until the week that he was killed. And if we back up just a bit in the scriptures, we see that this story is so much more than a showdown between superhuman Jesus and the devil. Just before this, beginning in chapter 3, Jesus has gone to the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist, who announces Jesus' arrival with great formality and celebration. John is a great hype man, calling out to the people, "Prepare the way of the one." And when Jesus arrives there at the river, at the font, it is believed that he is the one they have been waiting for. With many people and fanfare around him, he is dipped down into the waters, and God calls out to him, claiming him with the name Beloved. And what a pinnacle moment. For it is in this moment that everyone was gathered, and probably Jesus himself knows exactly who he is in the world. He is God's beloved. He is God's child. With the baptismal water still freshly dripping from his head, while Jesus may expect to be led to a great throne or celebration with a parade processing through the streets, this is not what happens. Instead, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the barren desert, and there he meets his inner voice of insecurity and anxiety and fear. that devilish voice convincing him of a false identity of scarcity of basic needs, the craving for power, the need for protection. It is here that the Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness, not to prove that he is God, but for the God in Jesus to experience what it means to be human, to experience vulnerability in its most harrowing forms. I can imagine that as these false narratives confront him and he is faced with either accepting them or pushing on, that those words that God spoke to him at his baptism were ringing in his ears, trying to drown out those other voices. Beloved, beloved, beloved. Reminding him that the promises of corrupt power were not true. Beloved. That the fear tactics of scarcity were a lie. Beloved. That the need to protect oneself from vulnerability and brokenness were just a mirage of human need. Beloved. But it was beloved that was the only blessing that he needed to take with him. I love how poet Jan Richardson imagines this moment with Jesus for all of us to take on. You'll find a copy of this poem, Beloved is Where We Begin, in your bulletin this morning, and I'd like to read it for us. Beloved is where we begin. If you would enter into the wilderness, do not begin without a blessing. Do not leave without hearing who you are, beloved, named by the one who has traveled this path before you. Do not go without letting it echo in your ears, and if you find it is hard to let it into your heart, do not despair. That is what the journey is for. I cannot promise this blessing will free you from danger, from fear, from hunger or thirst, from the scorching of the sun or the fall of the night. But I can tell you that on this path, there will be help. I can tell you that on this way, there will be rest. I can tell you that you will know the strange graces that come to our aid only on a road such as this, that fly to meet us bearing comfort and strength, that come alongside us for no other cause than to lean themselves toward our ear. And with their curious insistence, whisper our name. Beloved, beloved, beloved. Friends, while it's so easy to forget this, and it's so easy for us to buy into what we are tempted to believe about ourselves, the truth of the matter is that we are beloved. That at our very core, our authentic self is enough, and we are deeply, deeply loved. Even in those moments we are walking into the expanse of the unknown, where we are starving for the sustenance in our souls, where we hear those voices of temptation to be someone other than we are not, God is there leading us through. Just as Jesus was led by the Spirit through the wilderness, the Spirit meets us in our own, drawing close to us and whispering in our ears, "You are my beloved." And it doesn't end there. It was from this wilderness moment that Jesus was led into ministry with others who had also felt lonely and vulnerable and powerless. He began a ministry that was not defined by superhuman powers or superhero strength, but a ministry that stepped into the very depths of human vulnerability head on, opening up to receive the brokenness in this world. And thus to be a follower of Jesus was about being open and honest about what it meant to be yourself, to be human. It was a ministry that called out vulnerability from the shadows and called it beloved in the midst of broken places of this world. It was about not only walking in the wilderness, but searching and knowing that there would be others there trying to find their way to. Friends, this is what the wilderness season of Lent invites us to do together, to listen closely to the Spirit, calling us out of the shadows of fear, to live a full life, together with openness and honesty about what soul-testing times we find ourselves in, to remind one another who we are and what it means to be God's beloved. Thanks be to God. Amen.